My vices give advice. They be throwing up suggestions about how I should live my life. Lord, I'm seeking your protection. I'm trying to see the light and believe I'm your reflection. But when I look in the mirror, I ain't seeing your perfection. I'm seeking direction. I'm sinning more frequently. Addiction taking hold. Feel like decency is leaving me. This ain't where I need to be. All this doubt is eating me alive as I look to the sky like, please speak to me. Maybe I'm deaf. Maybe I ain't listening. Or maybe all the voices just drowning out your whispering. Shame trying to explain my insecurities bickering. And fear won't shut up long enough for love to get a sentence in. I'm losing my balance. Guess cold wasn't kidding, Slim. When you falling from grace, the vertigo can be sickening. I'm on thin ice and the plot keeps thickening. Please give me the strength to get through this again. Bars. All right, here we go. This is episode 11. What is TWS Podcast? I am J.Dot Flan. And today I am Dolo. It's all me by myself. My man Rich had some personal issues to attend to, so he couldn't make it tonight. And for a moment, I thought, you know, describe it. We'll come back another day, do an episode, you know, get some more content back out there. But then an idea popped in my head. It was like, pop, you know. It was like, Flan, like, how long could you carry an episode by yourself? Like, could you talk to yourself for about an hour and still make it interesting? And I like a challenge, so I'm like, you know what, let's give it a shot. So I'm going to call this the I Talk to Myself, because there ain't no one to talk to episode. And we're going to see just how long Flan can talk to himself without seeming completely crazy. Know that I do this all the time. I talk to myself frequently. I just hope that I don't answer myself. That I probably will. Yeah, I mean, like that. Like, that'll happen a lot. Because I do answer myself out loud. And I guess now I get to do it with an excuse. So bear with me. I got my ginger beer here. That's what I'm sipping. I got my vape. I got some topics. And we're going to try to see how long we can go before the wheels fall off this thing. So, welcome to episode 11. Welcome back to What is TWS Podcast. So, let's see. Let me get to my notes. I got to get organized. It's just me. So, normally, Rich would be talking right now while I'm trying to get to this stuff. But I already explained that. So, whatever. All right. So, what's going on with me right now? Thanksgiving just passed. That's part of the reason why it's been so long since you've gotten any content from us. The holidays were happening. My daughter got a stomach virus. So I've seen more vomit in the last 2 weeks than I have, you know, the other 30 some odd years of my life. I actually got, you know, like my dad baptism. She threw up directly in my face. So I can scratch that one off the bucket list. I've done it. I'm officially like a dad, and I'm a little proud of it. It was a moment for me to have my daughter like throw up in my face, and I was able to suppress that instinct to like toss her across the room. I love my daughter. I would never toss her across the room, but it takes something for somebody to throw up in your face and you like don't distance yourself from, like, you continue to embrace them. So that's love. I learned the true definition of love. I'm learning it every day. Like, she does something grosser and grosser that I have to deal with and still smile and tell her she's pretty. So I'm learning a lot about myself and fatherhood and real love, which is dope. What else? Yeah, we did actually do an episode that you should be hearing right now, which was a roundtable conversation with a bunch of friends we had over here for like a housewarming. It was a dope conversation. I'm like the worst audio engineer of all time, and the first maybe 5 minutes didn't get recorded. So I want to sit down with Rich and do like a proper lead in and set it up. You know, don't just drop you in the middle of a conversation, out of nowhere. So yeah, I am waiting to get back with Rich so we can record something to make all of that make sense. But that's coming. It was a really dope conversation. A lot of guys versus girls issues, relationships. It was a lot. But it was a dope episode. I appreciate everybody for participating and being involved. I think you saw the picture on Instagram if you follow us there. It was a nice, diverse crowd. We had a little bit of everything. So that is coming. So please stay tuned. As soon as I can get around to editing it and getting a proper lead in for it, we'll get it posted. But you'll probably get this one first because, I don't know, I'll be proud of myself if I actually make it through it. So I'm going to have to post it. So let's see. Other than that, not a lot going on. Yeah, let's get sports out of the way. That's the first thing that came to mind. I am still a fantasy football legend. Let's see, 6 leagues. I'm in playoff position in all 6. I'm in first place in 3. David Johnson has been my guy. He is helping me dominate the world of fantasy football the way that I should, the way that people have become accustomed to me doing. So, yeah. Proud of that one. I had to say, it's not interesting. It's not a fun fact. It's just something I wanted to say because I feel like bragging. I also wanted to say, fuck the Cowboys. Fuck the Cowboys. Yeah, we lost the Thanksgiving game. My thoughts on it. We lost. The Cowboys beat us. I would try to use the whole they didn't beat us, we beat ourselves, but they don't beat themselves. So I got to say, you know, they were the better team. We had our opportunities and we didn't take advantage of them. They had their opportunities and they did. And that's what separates the good teams from the great teams. I think we are a good team. Hopefully we'll find a way to push through to the playoffs and we can be some sort of obstacle for somebody down the line. But yeah, that's what's stopping us from being great. Yeah, when we're given the opportunities to take that next step to beat a good team like the Cowboys, and we had every opportunity to do it, we don't take advantage. And when they were in situations where they could, you know, put their foot on our throat, they did it. You know, so I take my hat off to the Cowboys, but fuck them. Like, seriously, that's how I feel. NBA. You know, I haven't been following like I'd like to. I know the Warriors are doing decent. I think they're 16-2 right now. Looks like Durant is trying to make a run for MVP. He's going to knock Curry off. No three-peat for Curry. Westbrook's going off. And that's about all I know about the NBA right now. The Clippers look good. I don't know if they've fallen off a little bit. I don't know. Hopefully I'll get into it. I haven't followed the Wizards at all. I'm a man without a team. One of these days, I'll find an allegiance. I want the Sonics back. Somebody put a team back in Seattle. Just Gary Payton, do something, man. I need the Sonics back. I'm hurting. The other thing I wanted to talk about in sports is, and I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple weeks. I was reading an article about Ray Caruth, and I don't know if you remember Ray Caruth. But he was the wide receiver for the Panthers. I think arranged to have his pregnant girlfriend or ex-girlfriend killed. He had someone pull up on her, pull up in a car next to her car and, you know, shoot into the car. I think, you know, he did, you know, manage to kill the girl, but the baby survived. And the baby is being raised by his grandmother. And I believe he's like a teenager, maybe 17, 18 years old. I don't know. Don't quote me on any of this. But I know Ray is actually looking at being released pretty soon. When I say soon, I mean like in the next 2 or 3 years is what I think. And the grandmother's plan is to meet him, is to bring his son up to the prison when he's released. And they'll be the first people that he sees. And I thought, you know, like that's that just interested me. Like, you know, she wants him to be a part of his son's life, and you know, she wants him to meet the son that, you know, I guess, you know, he tried to murder, and that'll be the first person he runs into outside of prison. So yeah, I guess that's a topic I probably should have Rich here for, because I'm not seeing a way to discuss it by myself. So I'm learning a little something about this podcast thing. Not everything you can do dolo, but all right. So yeah, we'll talk about that in another episode. All right. So I did the what you sipping. I'm doing my ginger beer, and I don't know. Maybe I should do a what you vaping. Probably not. I don't care. But let me take a vape. All right, so I want to get into, and the majority of this episode is probably going to be me ranting. Yeah, I think that's where I shine. So I'm trying to put my angry face on and get through some rants, talk about some things that have been bothering me lately. So I got some notes here, and I'm just going to start. I'm going to go right in. All right, first thing I want to talk about, and this has been something that's been happening at work. And that bugs me because I used to work in this industry. I hear a lot of people on the phone with customer service, and I used to work in customer service in a couple different roles. But people, you gotta you not just be nice to people because it's the right thing to do, but if you're trying to get help, It's to your advantage to get that person on your side. And I say that because there is always a difference between what a person has to do for you and what a person can do for you. And I knew working customer service that, when you called in with an attitude, you were going to get what I had to do for you. I was going to try to get you off the phone. I was going to give you, the most basic information I could possibly give you. I was not going to try to jump through any hoops. I was not going to try to do anything. I was going to, I was going to make a call that if someone recorded it and played it back, they couldn't say I did anything wrong. But I was not going to go above and beyond if you're talking to me a certain way. And that's what I'm saying. Anytime you call in, with that attitude, you never know what you're going to get. And I think a lot of my experiences were when I worked with child support enforcement. And what I want to say to people specifically to call in to child support enforcement, and I'm not saying that anybody that works for child support enforcement does these kind of things. I'm just saying it's a possibility and you need to think about it. When you call places like that, the person on the other end of the phone normally can see your address. They know where you work. They got your number too. They might have some information about your vehicle, your license. You don't want to just pop off with these people because you never know who they know or what they could, or how offended they could be. You just got to think about that. I hear people just going off on customer service folks and they looking at your life story on a computer screen. You don't know what they look like. You don't know anything about them. They know everything about you when you're talking all this shit. Things could really go left for you. I mean, this is a PSA. I'm trying to, the more you know, I'm just warning you, just be easy sometimes. But in addition to that, like I said, I could help you. There's a difference between what I have to do and what I can do. And I say, for a specific example, let's say you have someone call in to child support enforcement. And I'm saying that I'm going to use gender neutral pronouns because contrary to popular belief, there are quite a few deadbeat mothers as well as deadbeat dads. I think when we think about child support, we always think about men not paying or men having to pay. But there are a lot of moms out there that have to pay and don't pay and go through some extreme hurdles to avoid paying. So I'm not going to shit on either one of them in this particular example. So I'm going to use gender neutral pronouns. But let's say a person calls in and they are in the arrears. And their license is about to get suspended or some enforcement action is being taken against them. And they're upset about it. Now, you call in like, man, you're going to take my license. I can't go to work. Y'all need to fix this shit. I'm tired of this, man. Y'all harassing me, blah, blah, blah. You're going to get the basics. I'm going to tell you, if you believe your order's too much, you need to file for a modification. This is where you file. It could take, 6 to 9 months to get a court date, blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much for calling. Have a good day. If you got a warrant, I might tell you, there's a warrant in the system for you. You need to turn yourself in. That's the information I have to give you. And let's say you call in and you could be bullshitting me, but you give me a hard luck story. You tell me, man, this is what happened. I haven't been able to pay. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, work something out. I'm trying to figure out a way to get my license back so I can go to work, so I can, you know, make my child support payments. And you talk to me like a human being, I feel for you. I want to help you, and I have the ability to help you. And we realize that most of the time, you know, when you call custom service, they know whatever system they work for way better than you do. So they know all the loopholes, they know all the ways around, they know who to talk to. If you call this department and say this, they'll do this for you. And if you make a friend out of that person, they might have some sort of personal involvement and want to help you. So like in this situation, I would give him more information. If I saw he had a warrant in there, I say, hey, man, you know, you got a warrant. You know, you're going to need to turn yourself in. But it's Friday. I say, you know, keep your head down, lay low. If you go turn yourself in right now, you're not going to see the judge till Monday. So you're going to sit for the weekend. So be easy. You know, lay low. Turn yourself in on Monday. This is where you need to go to get a modification. If you do this, you might get through sooner. Like, I help you out. I help you out if you just show some civility. But if you get on there ranting and raving because you're upset, I know you're upset. Nobody calls customer service to give an endorsement. Like, you guys are doing a great job. You call because something's gone wrong. I understand that. But if you talk to me like a human being and you act appreciative for whatever I can do for you, I'll probably try to go the extra mile. But there's always a difference between what I have to do and what I can do. And I want people to remember that. You know, I hear people, and a lot of times, I don't know, I'm not going to get into ethnicities, but certain ethnicities are a little rougher with people on the phone than others. And it bugs me. It bothers me. I sit there and I listen to it all day, and yeah, it drives me crazy because I remember being on the other end of that phone and hearing some of the things people had to say to me and still having to help them. But I know there was always a difference between the level of service they got and the level of service with somebody, you know, that somebody with some sense got. So there's my PSA. You know, if you're calling customer service, you know, try to breathe first, maybe take a drink, calm yourself down a little bit, and talk to the people like they're people. You know, I know you probably have to give the same information like 6 times. That shit pisses me off too, that I got to type in my account number. And then the first question you ask me when I get a human being is, what's your account number? Like, what was the point? You know, but hey, woosah, breathe it out and get the best service you possibly can by just being a little bit nicer. You can thank me later. That's some advice from me. But speaking of my time at child support, it was definitely an interesting time. One of the better jobs I ever had, which I can only say in hindsight, when I had a job, it sucked. It sucked monkey balls. I hated it. I couldn't stand being on the phone. I couldn't stand having to talk to people. I couldn't stand having to deal with these irate people. I got called all kinds of names, all kinds of racial slurs. It was bad. It was bad. I hated that job. But it, you know, when I look back, it built a lot of character. It made me more assertive. Helped me stand up for myself. Helped me stand up for others. Helped me learn how to protect and take care of other people. It was definitely an interesting position. One of the better jobs I ever had. But I saw a lot of crazy stuff. And I was just talking to my wife about this today. We went to lunch together. Let me get a sip. But yeah, we went to lunch together. I was talking to her about some of the weird things I saw. Another rant, another PSA. What I always hated is that at one point I made the transition from answering phone calls to being at like the courthouse in the room behind the glass that you could go in and talk to someone face to face for your issues. And what always bugged me, and it even bugged me over the phone, was when, like, and this time I won't use gender-neutral pronouns because I only saw this in one direction. But when, like, when the dude had a child support case and was facing enforcement action because he was behind, and the person either calling or coming to the courthouse was his, like, new girlfriend, and she was upset about something happening to him because of his child support case. And I used to just, I mean, that it used to just piss me off, you know. Because one, And I always wanted to say to him, you know, sweetheart, you know, bless your heart for coming up here and defending your man. But this really doesn't concern you or involve you. You know, you'll get your own case soon. Don't worry about it. Just have a seat, you know, and let the gentleman who is supposed to be handling this handle it. And then from his point of view, like, you should be protecting that new person from this drama. You shouldn't be involving them or even having them come to fight that battle, even if they want to, even if they see the notice and they're like, no, this isn't right, we should go up there right now and get this fixed. You should be like, nah, that's on me, you know, let me take care of it, you don't worry about that. You know, you should never have, you know, your new girl up at the courthouse battling your child support case. Like, that's on both sides. I don't understand why, as a woman, you would do it, and as a man, I don't understand why you would allow her to do it. It just never sat right with me. I hated that. But we would see it all the time. One of the funnier times, this lady wasn't, like, up there fighting for her man, but she went up there with him. But and I had to do some foul stuff as child support enforcement. But this one dude came up there to get his license back. And I'm talking to him, and I see on the screen he's got a warrant. I'm in the courthouse. You got a warrant, and you're in the courthouse. I have to alert the sheriff's department. So I hit my little button. Boop, 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 boop. You know, the sheriffs come. They take him away. You know, about an hour and a half go by. The room starts to clear out. I notice the lady that came with him is, like, still in there. She's sitting down. There's nobody else in there now. So I call her to the to the counter. I'm like, you know, can I help you? Is there something I can do for you? And she's like, yeah, I'm waiting on the paperwork, you know, for my boyfriend's license. I had to pop, like, yo, I know you saw the sheriffs take him away. Like, they weren't showing him where the bathroom was. Like, he got arrested. Like, how do you think he's getting his license back today? Like, he needs to get his freedom back today. His license is not happening. He can't drive in jail. Like, you know, there's no point. Even if I gave you a paper right now to go get his license, he can't drive in jail. Don't worry about that. Get him out of jail for, like, what? How could you possibly be sitting here for an hour waiting to get paperwork for someone's license and you saw them get drug away by the sheriff? Why didn't you didn't follow them when they drug the man away? Like, where did you think he was going? That baffled me. Like, the craziness. This is the kind of stuff that would happen there all the time. And then you had the people that would try to play you, you know, like, you come up there and you need to make, a payment arrangement to get caught up so we can suspend enforcement action. And it was normally up to our discretion as the customer service agents or whatever you want to call it to make these payment arrangements. We had certain guidelines. We needed 2 months worth of payments, blah, blah, blah. But we had some wiggle room. So a guy comes up there. I give him a number. Like, you know, this is the number. You know, you go get this, bring it back. I can get you the paperwork for your license. He's like, bet. Starts pulling out cash. I'm like, yo. 7-Eleven across the street. Give me a money order. Come right back. Dude comes back, gives me a money order that's like 200 short. I take the money order. I go get him a receipt. I bring him his receipt back. He's like, man, what's going on with the paperwork for my license? Like, dude, you 200 short. He's like, well, you took the money. Yes, I did. Thank you very much. You know, I'm taking the money for your kid. I'm not going to refuse the money because it's not enough. I'm going to take whatever you give me. But until you come back with the other 200, I can't help you. And that was a rough day because I literally left work, like, looking over my shoulder, like, sneaking out the courthouse, making sure nobody's waiting for me. I had to do some things that I thought was going to get me fucked up out there, bro. I survived. And I had to wait for the bus back there. So I had to, like, leave work and then sit at a bus stop, like, in the open, vulnerable. That was a very tense time, but it was a good job. But I said, all right, so that's customer service and the myths about childs. Well, I didn't really go into the myths. Like I said, there are quite a few deadbeat moms. I think most of the cases that I saw would be, like, mother gives the child up to the state, child becomes a ward of the state, and then the state opens a case against the mom to pay them back for caring for their child. And a lot of those mothers, you know, never paid and and did the same things that guys do in terms of like working with dead relatives, social security numbers, and getting paid under the table and moving and whatever, just to avoid having to pay child support. So I don't want people to live with the myth when they hear child support that it's just dudes not paying women. It's quite a few women that are not paying for their children either. Another sip. Ah, man. Yeah. Mouth is getting dry trying to do all this talking. Let's see where we at. Where we at? Where we at? How long have I gone? Man, I'm closing in on 26 minutes. Hell, I think I'm cruising right now. All right. So what else? All right, so today I caught a video of Lil Yachty, is that his name? Lil Yachty talking to Ebro. I guess he came up there to kind of have a discussion with Ebro, maybe clear up some of the heat he was getting over the Biggie's overrated comments that he made, which I heard, and I actually watched that. And I thought people did take him the wrong way. I think the question was set up for him to answer inappropriately and then cause some controversy. I mean, the question was, underrated or overrated. So he didn't just come up with the term overrated on his own. He didn't just pull out his ass. Like, they asked him underrated or overrated. And for him, he didn't grow up in our era. He had never listened to any Biggie songs. And so to him, to have people talking like Biggie is the greatest rapper of all time, he considered that overrated. And so he said how he felt, and then people took it and ran with it, and it became something. So I understood that. And then, while he was talking in the interview, he was saying a lot of things that made me, I was starting to change my opinion a little. Yachty. I was like, all right, maybe he's not that, bad of a guy. And I'll be honest, like, it's really me stereotyping. Just to be perfectly honest, I have never heard any of his music. I just don't tend to trust people named Lil anything. And Lil Yachty just doesn't help. I think he explained the Yachty thing, and it still didn't help. But then he said something about, I guess Lord Jamar had some comments for him, which I won't even try to say what I think Lord Jamar said, because I didn't listen to any of it, so I don't want to misquote anybody. But he had some things where he was saying to Lord Jamar that he'd like to sit down and have a conversation with him, because I guess people are telling him he's not hip-hop, or he's the end of hip-hop, or the destruction of hip-hop, the death of hip-hop. And he's like, I'm the one out here pushing positivity and pushing no drugs and pushing, all these things to the kids. Like, he's, this positive influence. And then he did a fairly whack, not as whack as the first freestyle I think I heard him do with Ebro, but still pretty whack freestyle over the Flavor in Your Ear beat. And so that made me want to go and check out a little, because he has some bars in it. There were bars in this little freestyle. So I'm like, I'm going to check out some Lil Yachty. Like, he's positive. Maybe I need to get this dude a better chance. He's positive. He admitted his mistake in speaking on Biggie without, understanding who he was or listening to any of his music. So that seemed like a big, real grown man thing to do. He's a lot younger than I thought he was. He's a little kid. So he was starting to grow on me. Like, I don't need to be this harsh with him. He's just a kid. And for a kid, he seems to be saying some intelligent things, or some grown man type things. So I'm going to get this dude a shot. So I go, I don't even know the song I pulled up. I didn't pull up a song. I pulled up his XXL freshman freestyle. I pulled that up. And within like the first six bars, he said something about chickens in the kitchen, which to me sounded like a drug reference, like birds or whatever. And then he actually said something about a 4-5, and he made like the gun motion. I'm like, I just listen to an interview where you like the no drugs positive dude, and then like the first six bars of your freestyle sound like drugs and violence. Like, I didn't even listen anymore. Like, I was trying to give him a chance, and he just got snatched from me. Like, I felt like he took something from me. Like, I felt like I was getting ready to find a way to embrace this new generation of music that I don't understand, And I was excited about that opportunity. And then in like the first four bars of a record, he just became a hypocrite. And he wasn't lyrically talented enough for me to get past it. Like, there are a lot of people that are hypocrites in hip-hop, but they actually have enough talent that I don't care. Like, they make good music. Their music and their skill level is compelling enough that I'll listen to it, regardless of the fact that they say one thing and do another. Nas being one of them. We'll get into that later. But this dude had none of that. Like, you're not really talented in my opinion. And the one, like, it's not a gimmick. The one hook that you have for me, you know, the whole positive angle, seems to be a bunch of bullshit. So I felt robbed. I was hurt. I was really hurt. That really, like, messed up a large part of my day. If it wasn't for Drink Champs, that would have fucked up my whole day. But Drink Champs saved it. The Joe Budden episode was, I haven't even made it all the way through it, but that was entertaining. Let's see. All right, so then I guess that takes me to something else that bothers me a lot. And I talk to people about this all the time. I hate the internet. And I hate the internet for this reason and this reason only. Is that so many people use the internet as a source of information, because it can be. But the internet is so vast that no matter what your opinion is, you're always right. I challenge people to this. Like, this is my challenge. Let's pick an issue, and you give me a side of that issue that you don't think has any support, and I guarantee you I'll find a large group of people that take that stance on the internet somewhere. You could say the sky isn't blue, and I guarantee you if I Google it right now, I'll find a shitload of websites dedicated to the fact that the sky isn't blue. It doesn't matter what it is. So people post stuff on the internet, on Facebook and everything, like it's fact. And I swear, no matter what fact you post, I can probably find a website to post the opposing fact with just as much evidence to back it up. And that's why I hate the internet. Because people think you can, like, Google something and get some search results and then be like, look, I told you. I'm like, look, I told you. Like, if you just clicked two more links down, you would have found somebody who said the exact opposite thing, and they look legit. So I hate the internet. I hate the internet. It happens all the time, especially with my daughter. You know, we'll be trying to figure out the right thing to do. You know, like, is it okay to let her cry? You know, is it okay to let her cry herself to sleep? You know, or do you need to go in there every time she cries? Right, as we look it up, like, it's just as many articles to say yes as say no, and that happens with everything. It's so much information that is useless information now. None of the information can be trusted. Nothing can be trusted. I don't trust any of it, and that's just me being cynical and me finding things to hate. Because that's what I'm getting older, and that's what I think old people do. You find stuff to hate. But that's how I feel. The internet fucking sucks. I hate it. But you have no choice but to use it and go to it. But I just hate that people, like, use it as fact. And sometimes I find myself, you know, falling into that. Like, I'll see something posted on Facebook and I'll repost it real quick. And then I have to think to myself, I reposted that without doing any research. Like, I have no idea if that article is from a legitimate source, if it's true. Like, I'm just spreading more misinformation. And that's what the internet is. The internet and social media have now given every nut job a soapbox to stand on and a reason for people to listen. And it's fucking crazy. Yeah, man, the AC in here, I guess that's the heat. I didn't realize how noisy it was until it went off. I mean, you just got, like, you see how quiet it is right now? Y'all got, like, you can hear me drink the ginger beer. Wow. You heard that. I know you did. All right. Man, this should have been way higher on the list. My notes are fucked up, but my birthday is coming up, and what did I want to say about my birthday? So my wife is throwing a party this weekend. So my daughter's birthday is the 1st. My birthday is the 6th. My wife is throwing a party on the 3rd. So it's like a joint party for the two of us. When my daughter was born on the first, it was a good thing for me. Because for me, that meant I never had to worry about, you know, anybody paying attention to my birth or my birthday being an issue anymore. And I've never been one to like attention or like people focusing on me. Excuse me for the burps. I mean, I am drinking ginger beer. But I don't like attention. I don't like the spotlight on me. It's not really my thing. I'm a homebody. I'm an introvert. I like my time to myself. I'm enjoying this episode so far. I mean, no offense to Rich. No offense. Nobody say like, oh, Flan and Rich are going in separate ways. Flan's gonna do podcasts by himself. Nah. I would much prefer to have someone here to help me fill this time. But I am enjoying just, you know, speaking freely for a little bit. But yeah, like I don't like the spotlight on me. I don't like, you know, it's my birthday. I don't like compliments, to be honest. I don't. Like, you want to depress me? Like, say something nice about me. And it sends me into a deep depression. It's weird. But, so yeah, I was looking forward to, like, being able to get rid of the whole birthday thing and, like, not have that focus and not have people paying attention to it or talking about it. And so, yeah, I, you know, my wife is doing the party, and I love her, and she's, you know, she's doing a lot and going the extra mile for this, which is awesome. But sometimes when I read, like, the announcement for the party, to me, it sounds like I was upset that my birthday would be ignored, and that, you know, like, Jared thinks nobody's going to pay attention to his birthday anymore. And it was more like, Jared thinks nobody's going to pay attention to his birthday anymore. Like, I was, yes, thank God. We can just focus on Elise and pretend like, you know, it never happened. I don't want that day for me. It's not cool. I don't enjoy it. But now it seems like I'm going to get more attention and maybe more attention in a way I didn't want. Because it's like, not only is it his birthday and we're being reminded of it, but it's his birthday and he's worried that people are going to care too much about his daughter's birthday and they can care about his birthday. So we got to make him feel special. And he's been, that's how I feel. I'm doing that voice because that's how I feel. That's how I feel. So yeah, but as much as I say that, and I think I said this in an older episode. Well, it was an episode that we never released. But the one thing on my birthday that I do look forward to and does put a smile on my face is counting up all the happy birthday mentions on Facebook. I do. For some reason, that matters to me. Like, how many people reach out and recognize your birthday on Facebook? It's petty. It's stupid. It's like it goes against everything that I say I believe in terms of this social media. And I just did the rant about the internet and all that bullshit. But for some reason, that means something to me. So yeah, if you're listening, you know, December 6th, like, just say what's up. It'll make me feel happy. And as you can tell, I could use an ego boost these days. My best friend is here. Oh, speaking of that, my big bro will be here this week. So you're going to look forward to an episode with my big brother on here. I am definitely looking forward to it. It's happening. I'm recording in the room that he'll be staying in. Got to fix this place up. Or whatever. Let's see where we are at that time. I'm almost to 40 minutes. So I'm not even going to make it through all the topics that I had. All right. I'm going to do this one, and hopefully I can do this one justice. So, there was a lady that I know, and I won't say who, but she had a coworker who brought a cake to a potluck. I know this story sounds boring, and you're wondering, why is he talking like that? He's just talking about a cake and a potluck, but I'm building something, so go with me. So they brought a cake to the potluck, and it's what a coworker brought a cake to a potluck, and the lady they were talking about, she did not partake in any of the cake, because this particular coworker owns a pet pig. And I think she sleeps with the pet pig. And she felt a certain kind of way about that. She was even talking to other people like, you going to eat the cake? You going to eat the pig lady's cake? Like the pig lady cake? And it got me to thinking. She's a bully. Like, I heard the story, and I think she was talking about, like, the lady was talking about her Thanksgiving plans, or the coworker was talking about her Thanksgiving plans, and this particular lady was making comments about whether or not the pig would have a seat at the table or on the table, and she knows it's a sensitive subject with this lady about her pig and being talked about, like, they're going to eat the pig, because she loves this pig. And, you know, everybody laughed or whatever. And I'm like, that's a bully. Like, you got the lady in front of everybody. You making jokes, making everybody laugh at the lady. She gonna bring a cake in for you, you know. And you look down on the cake. She got a pig. You know, I felt a certain kind of way about that. I felt like this lady was being persecuted unfairly. And that this person was a bully. And it hurt my feelings. It really did hurt my feelings. And I want to say, like, to not eat the cake because the lady had a pig. Like, if you've been over anyone's house that has a cat or a dog, like, the moment you leave that person's house, what do you notice? That you are covered in pet hair. And, I mean, it really don't even matter how well these people keep their house. If that cat or dog is moving, hair is in the air, it's just in your nose, in your mouth, it's everywhere. And I bet you eat a cake, came out of their house, and you just got pet dander in the air, just floating, landing on everything in the cake. I'm sure I fix computers all day of people who have pets, and it takes me hours to dig pet hair. And I'm like, what, do you let your dog sleep on the keyboard or something? It's disgusting. But don't nobody have a problem eating the cake, came out of one of their house. This lady got a pig, and you don't eat the cake because she got, you know, because she got a pig. It feels hypocritical to me. I felt a certain kind of way, like it really did bother me. And this person is a bully, and I want them to know they're a bully. They know who I'm talking to. I ain't gonna say no name. They know who I'm talking to. And in other news, my in-laws are coming to town. That's happening for Christmas. I know my wife is looking forward to it because she'll get some help with the baby. I'm looking forward to it as well, you know, because I'll get some help with the baby. Other than that, whatever. Now, Soul Glow knows I love her. And Pop Pop. Can't wait to see him. He'll be here for Christmas, and we'll probably take a break sometime. Well, I don't know. My company does a shutdown around Christmas, so I have some free time. So I might do some more of these, depending on what Rich is doing. I'll try to do some more of these Dolo podcasts, because I think I actually made it. It should be somewhere around 45 minutes. I think 45 minutes is a good time for me talking to myself. I think I did a bang up job. If I do say so myself, I will toot my own horn this time. That sounds gross, but yeah, whatever. So before I go, I want to throw out there Tavares Taylor Charities, ttcharities.org. It's always a good time to donate. He always has a good cause going on. Like I said, I've said this in a couple of the episodes, great episodes. Great dude, really involved in the community. Definitely somebody you can get behind and support and know that, you know, your money is going to go toward helping some people in the best ways possible. So, yeah, I encourage you to just check out the website, see all that he does, ttcharities.org. Donate if you can, you know, every little bit helps. And, you know, like he told me, let's take care of each other. Let's make this a grassroots movement. Let's back each other and let's take care of each other. Let's not, you know, force charities like this to go out and try to find corporate sponsors so we can call them sellouts. Let's get behind our own people and take care of our own folks. ttcharities.org. Please check it out. And then also, I want to re-big up the crew over at Aussie Movers. That's Steve-O, Victor, and David. They're the ones that help us move into the new spot. Great group of guys. If you if you know me and they can get access to me and are in the Austin area and are looking to move, they did give me a bunch of $50 off coupons. So holla at me. I got them. I'm handing them out. I'm throwing them out the window, however you want to get it. Yeah, I guess this don't apply to anybody but people in Austin. But yeah, it is what it is. The store is coming. I know Rich has been working on getting the store up and running. We got shirts. We got other things other than shirts. And they will be for sale. Like I said, you know, I kind of like the fact that we haven't asked for any of your money. The shirts will be something, you know, I think are dope. And if you want to buy and support, that'd be great. Really, the best thing you can do to support us is just listen. Just listen consistently. Go to the website. Click on the ad. Really need you to click on those ads. But I'm not asking for any of your money. Not asking you to buy anything. You know, buy a shirt, though. That would be dope. But if you listen, if you could tell a friend, get them to listen, if we get numbers on the boards and we can create a following in the community, we can really do something with this podcast. So that's it. That's me off my soapbox. This has been fun. This has been the I Talk to Myself Because There Ain't No One to Talk to episode. We miss you, Rich. Catch you on the next one. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Peace.